Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the second tier preview show brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks and I'm joined by the hot cross bun to my Easter egg. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Oh, Justin, the Easter weekend is nearly upon us. Thank the Lord. Where does it rank amongst your favourite weekends of the year?
Amongst my favourite weekends of the year? I don't know. The first weekend of the football season is probably my favourite weekend. If I was to compare it to others, yeah, it's probably that one. I do like the odd weekend in October, but there's no real reason why. I just wanted to throw out a random date. To be honest with you, yeah, I think it's just the first footballing weekend of the season. That's the best weekend of the year by far.
Playoff weekend as well, playoff final weekend? Final day of the season as well?
Final day of the season. It's bittersweet because most of the time no one's got anything to play for. And that smell of cut grass, that same feeling isn't there when you walk into a stadium and all you can smell is grass. It's not quite there because you smelt it all season. It's only there on the first day of the season.
Okay, fair enough. I quite enjoy the Easter weekend. I mean, it's a lot of work for us, but we do get two rounds of games in essentially the same weekend, technically the same weekend. So I'm all here for it. So I'm looking forward to Good Friday and Easter Monday. But ladies and gentlemen, here today, we're talking about Good Friday. Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the second tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, we're making our predictions and looking ahead to some of the games on Good Friday in the championship. A full round of games. We've got games at 12:30, 3 o'clock, 5:30 and 8 o'clock. So if you want to just park yourself on the sofa, I think no one will blame you at all. And maybe, you know what, I won't tell anyone if you chuck in to some fucking Easter eggs at the same time. So Justin, we might as well kick things off with our game of the weekend, or Good Friday in this case. It's the lunchtime game between Bristol City and Leicester City, or as it's otherwise known, the Nigel Pearson Derby. Two clubs with a lot of respect for Nigel Pearson right here, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it, that Nigel Pearson is so revered by both Bristol City and Leicester City, both cities, if you like, both animals, kingdoms in terms of mascots and nicknames as well, into the robins and foxes. I don't know where I was going with that, but it might be a
so many comparisons right here.
So many. But yeah, Nigel Pearson, well fabled amongst both sets of supporters. That's all I've really got to say on that. It is a surprise because he didn't really achieve anything at Bristol City, but he kicked things off at Leicester City. Well, you can't really complain.
He absolutely did. And for a short while, I'm talking like a couple of seasons ago, Bristol City was kind of like the retirement home for Leicester City favourites, wasn't it? Because I'm pretty sure Matty James, he's still there, isn't he?
He's still there, Andy King's still there.
Andy King's still there as well, isn't
both,
he, actually?
Both under contract,
Danny Simpson was there for a short period
as well.
Just good stuff. And that's what we like to see. More of that, please, where managers bring back the players who they were so fondly working with at one point in their careers. But the odds on this game with SBK are 8-11 for a Leicester City win and 41-10 for a Bristol City win. And speaking of Nigel Pearson and Bristol City, it seems many Bristol City fans will be missing old Nigel Baby, because it's 5 losses in 6 for them. There appears to be quite a lot of discontent around the Liam Manning appointment from a few months ago. It's safe to say a lot of supporters need a lot of convincing still about Liam Manning. Isn't that right, Justin?
It's to be expected, isn't it? It's like trying to warm to your new stepdad, I think. Nigel Pearson is the... He's the father-like figure. He used to take you to Alton Towers most weekends. He used to keep you busy. He was all action. And Liam Manning's come in. He's a little bit different. He's something different.
He's the cool stepdad, isn't he? He's cool, but at the same time, a bit irresponsible. Doesn't necessarily care as much for your well-being as your actual dad does.
Maybe. I think he's cool amongst the football purists. So he's cool amongst the other dads, if you like.
Yeah.
But he's not quite with the kids. He's not taking you to
Alton Towers. You want to hang around with him, but at the same time, he doesn't have as much of a taste for hanging around with you at the same time.
He wouldn't buy your 15-year-old self a pint in the pub, would he? Liam Manning's that guy. And I think Nigel Pearson would. Mm. Nigel Pearson would talk to you about ales. I think Liam Manning would talk to you about laptops. I think that would be the difference. But I'm not saying Bristol City fans have daddy issues, but Pearson was well liked because of the impact he had on the club, the youngsters he brought through and how he guided the club into a new chapter. So I think the next manager was always going to have to contend with some pressure, especially if they didn't lift the club into the top 10 immediately. But I think now is probably the best time to judge old Liam Manning, and hopefully he can settle into the family home and a nice marriage with the mother.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I can somewhat understand the discontent from supporters because, you know, the clubs were giving it the big licks when he came in saying they want to push for the top six under Liam Manning. And that's obviously not transpired this season. It's definitely not transpiring now with 5 losses in 6. But I'll keep saying this with him. These things are going to take time, particularly when it's a new manager who's trying to change how they play. I suppose my question to Bristol City fans is, and this may upset a few, do you really think things would be much better under Nigel Pearson right now? I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be. I'm not sure they would have necessarily gone on a run of 5 losses in 6, but I don't think they'd be like ridiculously higher in the table than they would be if Nigel Pearson was still in charge. Sure, he did a good job there, but the club, in my eyes, needed someone to take them to that next level. And I think Manning will be that man. He just needs time. And I'm sure Bristol City will see this appointment was the right one in the long term. It may be next season where that actually happens, because obviously, as I say, things aren't going too well right now and it looks like the season's fizzling out. But stick with him, I say. He's a really talented coach, and I think we will start to see the benefits of that in the long term. Justin, do you agree?
Yeah, history tells you that managers can come in and struggle and then have success. Daniel Farke is a great example. Norwich were really, really mediocre in his first season in charge. Yeah. James Maddison carried that Norwich team for the entire season. If he didn't, they probably would have been a lot closer to the relegation zone than they were sort of lower mid-table. Similarly with David Wagner, he was sort of bumbling around a little bit mid-table, and then he takes him into the playoffs. Managers don't always get off to an amazing start. I think that's the key thing. Don't get me wrong, I think this is the best time now to judge him, because he's got, you know, a set of games after a 2-week international break where he can really hammer down and see what he can get out of this Bristol City team. And I think if we come out of this sort of over the next 4 or 5 games and are still losing, then maybe he can start to question things. But he's a younger manager, he's got a young-ish squad, he's got players coming back from injury as well. Yeah, let's see what he can cook with when things start to go his way a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure now is the time to, you know, judge Liam Manning. I will disagree with you on that just now. I think we're looking towards next season when that is the case, even though he has been there for quite a while now, to be fair. But yeah, I think I'll reserve judgment on him until the first few months of next season, I think, after he's had a good transfer window anyway. But Justin, leaving Bristol City alone for a sec, the big question that's on everyone's lips, particularly in West Yorkshire and Suffolk, is are Leicester City bottling promotion? For me, I think this will be a huge indicator of that, won't it? Because 1 win in 5 league games, not a great run. They've had an international break now. This is their chance to show how the rest of the season's going to go, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the thing with Enzo Maresca, maybe some inexperience of not only the Championship, but as a manager in general. This is the point where you don't necessarily play well, but you get results. And I don't think that Leicester, I'm just not overly convinced that Leicester team can play, not play well and get results. They're not convinced me that that's the case yet. Don't get me wrong, I don't think they've been in top gear all season. We've made that comment for pretty much 70% of the campaign so far, that they've yet to hit fourth and fifth gear. And I still think that's the case. So when's that going to happen? Is it going to happen now? We don't know. We've not had the variable to really suggest it. And of course, they're going into the international break off the back of some really poor form. You're heading into crunch time. There's now a lot of pressure. Then there's the added pressure of the off the field stuff. So how is it going to contend with things on the pitch with that? So Yeah, there's a lot of variables here. Not necessarily working against or working against Leicester, and it will be interesting to see how they contend with them. They've got a good enough squad to win any game at this level, but it's not as easy as that in football. Not as easy as that at all.
Yeah, well, you're right about the off the field stuff. I think that's just added the pressure on Leicester to get promotion, because if they don't, I'm quite fearful for them, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. There's obviously a lot of excitement from Leicester's promotion rivals about their recent form, though, and understandably so, because, as I say, one win in five league games, compared to what they were doing up until the beginning of February, it's night and day, isn't it, the contrast in form. Interestingly, our friends at SBK tell us Leicester were 1-3 to win the title in January. They're now just 4-5. So quite a dramatic swing, which shows just how much things have gone awry recently. But look, this is their opportunity to eradicate those fears, because the international breaks come at a really good time for them to, you know, break up the games, have a moment to take stock and go again. And they can go to Bristol City and get things back on track, because, as we've said, Bristol City aren't in great licks themselves right now. And if they win, it alleviates so much pressure and it could very well set them on their way to promotion. But, Justin, and this is a huge, huge but, if they lose or even fail to win, it will set off the alarm bells, won't it? And they will be louder than ever before, won't they?
We're charming like Big Ben, Ryan. Charming like Big Ben. It is dangerous ground, Leicester, in. As I say, you've got to be peaking at this time in the season. It just, you know, feels like they're not. It feels like they're stuttering a little bit. The kangaroo starting their car when they, you know, really should be in fourth of gear. We're going to use that analogy again. As I say, if they fail to win, six points over the space of 4 days and then going into the next week, there's a lot of games to play in the next few weeks. So if you start on the wrong foot, it can really, really damage what your aspirations are for the season. Unfortunately, Leicester's form has allowed the likes of Leeds and Ipswich to catch up on them. Added a little bit more pressure on top of the pressures we've already spoken about. This is a crunch time for the Foxes, crunch time for Enzo Maresca, and a real test of their mettle. Are they up for it? Ooh, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Just looking at their next few games, Easter Monday, they've got an in-form Norwich. Game after that is Birmingham City, who have obviously got a new manager in Gary Rowett. And then they've got Millwall after that. Millwall have picked up recently as well. So games you should be expecting Leicester to win, but still quite tricky on the face of it. So this is their most winnable game now for a good couple of weeks at least. But it's now just in time for our second tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can curate your own bet builder from a range of markets for any championship game. It's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app. And you'll find substantially better odds there than at any other bookmaker. So in each preview show, we're making our own bet builder with four selections all relating to our game of the week. So that's two for Justin and two for me. Justin, what is your first selection, big boy?
I've gone with Jamie Vardy to score anytime, Ryan. I'm hopeful. Ooh. And if this man wants to head to the Euros, then he's got to start scoring goals. I mean, he's already done that. He's got 13 league goals for the season, which on paper doesn't sound great, but he's got 8 goals in 14 starts so far this season, a 5 in his last 6. He's a man in form. He's a man in form, and he's going up against the Bristol City team, who aren't in form. Naturally, you're going to throw your weight behind a man who is a born goal scorer, especially at championship level. 37 years old, still doing it. Chance to get on the plane to Germany. Get on it, Jamie Vardy. Get on it.
Yeah, not sure about the plane to Germany, but I do agree with you on this one, Justin. I think you're right. Jamie Vardy is bang in form right now, isn't he? So he is quite weird, really, that his form is contrasting against Leicester's form in general. But look, he is bang in form, still playing as well as ever, despite being at the ripe old age of 37 now.
The ripe old age.
So, yep. ripe old age by football terms. Yeah. So I would not disagree with you on that. I think that is a good pick. My pick is it's a bit of a tap in this one. You'd have thought it's Leicester City to win. As we were saying, 5 losses in 6 for Bristol City. This has to be seen as a golden opportunity for Leicester to get back on track, doesn't it, Justin?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Does a Leicester win come down to the quality of that Leicester team, or does it come to necessity, the need to win? You know, what sways your mind in picking Leicester for this? Because this is I think any game in the Championship is banana skin, isn't it? But Leicester have been in poor form, not been performing great. Really poor performance away at Sunderland a few weeks back. They still came out with a win. Can Bristol City do what Sunderland didn't and take advantage? Maybe. But yeah, does it come down to quality or necessity? you know, in terms of swaying your mind to picking this one?
Quality.
just quality.
Pretty much. Necessity as well. Leicester have to get back on track, don't they? But at the same time, they are a substantially better team than Bristol City. It's just about getting back in form, isn't it? Justin, what's your other selection?
I've gone with Bristol City to score under 1.5 goals. Leicester will look to take control of the game from the off, nullify Bristol City, and in a sense, they will not give them the ball. Bristol City will not have the ball throughout this game. Eze Maresca loves controlling games. Robins could hurt them at a set piece, but it's hard to envisage scoring at least more than one. So, yeah, I'm going with Bristol City to score under 1.5 goals.
Yeah, they have been a bit goal shy recently, I think, Bristol City. And my final selection is the half-time result to be a draw. Bit of an interesting one, but my thinking behind this is Leicester have been slow starters this season. They score 60% of their goals in the second half of games. So I could see this one being a bit of a slow burner for Leicester as they try to just take control of things and then hit Bristol City in the second half. Are you fine with that one, Justin?
I think I am. Leicester City don't really get going until the second half. So if anything's going to happen, not going to give Bristol City the ball. So naturally, you're going to air towards a draw at halftime.
Lovely stuff. So a £10 bet with SBK on that returns £100. And with SBK, you can claim a 25% winnings boost on Bet Builders for Bristol City v Leicester City, bringing us up to £125. Max stake of £10 over 18s only, and T's and C's apply. Please gamble responsibly. That Bet Builder again, Jamie Vardy to score anytime, Leicester to win, Bristol City under 1.5 goals, half-time result to be a draw. A £10 bet on that returns 125 big ones, thanks to SBK's 25% winnings boost on Bet Builders for this game. Let's have a look ahead to the weekend, Justin. And in each preview episode of the second tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider. So someone we think is going to win, but is bigger odds with our friends at SBK than their opponent. We're tracking how we do as the season goes on. It's 1 point for a crack banker, 2 points for an outsider. Whoever loses has to do a forfeit, which will be a CrossFit workout for myself, while Justin has to do a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. And the current scores are 39-30 to the Dilks Diehards. The Peach Posse managed to claw a point back the last time out, but will it be enough is the question on everyone's lips across the nation. By my calculations, there are 6 preview episodes left, so that's 18 points up for grabs. A 9-point gap at the moment, Justin, which means time is running out before it's official and you're off to Plymouth, dear boy.
Listen, if you're as bad as picking these as you were at your Cheltenham bets, then I'm sure... Surely got a chance here. The confidence is coming up for me, and I'm confident with these picks. So I'm going to go right ahead and get straight into them, Ryan. I've gone with Preston to beat Rotherham as my banker. Ooh. That is the tapping. Preston have got a kind run of fixtures coming into the last stretch of the season, if you like. But there is a little bit of nervousness from me because this is usually the point where Preston do drop off and their playoff aspirations drop off with them. But they're coming up against the worst team in the division and potentially the worst championship side ever. We've got to bear that in mind. So you should be expecting 3 points. So that being said, if Lowe's boys do win, it will only enhance their top six aspirations and ambitions. Because, as I say, you've got to win these games to be in with a shout. And they are in with a shout.
Right, I mean, they're definitely in with a shout, aren't they? I think that's kind of understating it quite a lot, Justin. I think it's safe to say at this stage that any team, and I mean any team in the Championship, whether they're home or away, who comes up against Rotherham between now and the end of the season, has to be expecting or at least aiming for 3 points. That's right, isn't it? Come on now.
Well, obviously, because they are terrible. I know we are poking fun a little bit at Rotherham. I mean, it's pretty sad at how poor their season has been, but they are simply too poor. They don't create chances, don't really score often. I think they're one of the last wins against Middlesbrough on Boxing Day came from across from Cohen Bramall, so it goes to show. So for me, Preston, you've got to lean towards Preston on this one. You'd be pretty foolish if you didn't.
Yeah, the long short of it is, if you don't beat Rotherham between now and the end of the season, if you've still got them to play, you have well and truly shot yourself in the foot because, and I mean this with no disrespect to Rotherham fans, they are crap. Let's go on to my banker then, and it's Norwich City to beat Plymouth Argyle. Now, Norwich have been in exceptional form since the turn of the year. Only Leeds have won more points than them in 2024. It's a run of form which I've admitted I didn't see coming, and it's hard to see it stopping currently, particularly with their opponents this weekend. The form has been mainly down to their two best players. Josh Sargent has scored 10 goals in 14 championship games since he's come back from injury. He has been on fire up front for the Canaries. And Gabriel Sarr has been excellent all season, but has really been in top gear recently. 5 goal contributions in his last 3 games. He's really been pulling the strings in the middle of the park and has been one of the best players in the division this season, hasn't he? But look, it's not just down to them. They've really tightened up at the back, have Norwich, with 3 clean sheets in their last 4. They've won 6 games on the bounce at Carrow Road as well, and it really should be 7 after this round of Good Friday games. And that's because they're playing Plymouth, who are not having a great time at all. They've won just 5 points from an available 27. They've gone from not really looking in danger of going down all season to being right in the firing line. This season, they've been great going forwards, but leaky at the back. Well, they've now failed to score in 5 of their last 7 games and are still leaky at the back. And I'll tell you what, I'm surprised Ian Foster, the Plymouth manager, is still in charge, because last time out, the Plymouth fans were chanting that they want him out. So I thought the international break, Plymouth may pull the trigger, and I'm a bit concerned that they haven't decided to act, but we'll see. Nonetheless, it's difficult to see them getting anything from this one. Justin, what do you think? Are you surprised that Ian Foster's still Plymouth manager?
I think yes and no. Yes, because performances are so blunt and so poor. I have really no idea what the objective is in terms of a playing point of view, because this Plymouth side was a swashbuckling, free attacking side, and it's not really the case now. I get that they needed to tighten up a little bit because they were licking goals, but at the same time, they've nullified their best threat, which is their attack. So yes, I am surprised he's not gone in that sense, but also not surprised because Plymouth strike me as a club who will give a new rookie manager the benefit of the doubt. Could say too nice, maybe, but they're probably thinking, let's see what happens after 2 weeks on the training ground, which is what they've had. So I'm thinking there is surprise, there isn't surprise, but going away to Norwich and getting result will be a big ask, because Norwich are a different beast at home. They've got the fourth best home record in the division. Plymouth have got the fourth worst away record in the division. Yeah, you swing towards Norwich on this one.
Yeah, you definitely do. I think going back to what you were saying about Plymouth being patient with their managers, it may be a bit of a detriment at this stage, because their season is quickly unravelling, and that's not ideal from their perspective. So there are mine and Justin's two bankers for the weekend, and every week we combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time results of our game of the weekend to create our very own second tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week we're going for Leicester, Norwich and Preston all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £39.49, and with SBK you can create your own multiple with 3 or more bets on the full-time result of any game from across the Championship. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. That's Leicester, Norwich and Preston all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £39.49. I've got my fingers crossed, Justin. I've got a good feeling this is the one. We haven't had much luck with the trebles this season, but I feel like this is the one, baby. Right, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll reveal our outsiders for the weekend and play a little game I like to call Scott High or Ryan Low.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast, and it's now time for us to reveal our outsiders for the championship this coming weekend. I say weekend. I keep saying weekend. It's Good Friday.
It's technically the weekend, though, isn't it? Because it's Friday's. Yeah. Friday's your start of the weekend for many people. It's Bank Holiday weekend. Bank Holiday weekend.
Yeah. Easter weekend, isn't it?
All right.
Yeah.
Go with that.
When you say Easter weekend, you're talking about the Friday and Monday as well, aren't you? So I suppose it technically still checks out.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to pull you up on it. Don't worry, Ryan. Stop being paranoid. Relax.
Sorry.
Let's just chill.
I'm just very, very vulnerable right now.
More on that later.
I hope not. Let's go to your outsider for Good Friday.
Well, Swansea to win away at Sheffield Wednesday is my outsider. I'm hoping we don't hit players on the beach territory for the Swans because they've been great in the last few games in Luke Williams. Lost once in the last five, winning three in that time as well. And of course, they picked up that huge morale-boosting win over Cardiff in the South Wales Derby just before the international break where it drove the Swans players to get absolutely rat-arsed. Luke Williams is drinking shots with the fans. That is great. That is morale-boosting, but it also does give me that players on the beach territory vibe. But I hope that's not the case. So you're going away to Sheffield Wednesday, whom I'm suspecting are going to be running out of steam, and which should obviously present the perfect opportunity to begin a run of form to push them into a mid-table finish, Swansea that is. Obviously coming off the back of a 6-0 defeat to Ipswich, Wednesday will tighten up, and they do need to get results, so they will definitely tighten up. But I think this is a time where Swansea do need to start picking those results to raise them into mid-table and improve their season.
Yeah, it is getting to that stage of the season where I'm a bit worried about picking certain teams. To be fair, I don't think Swansea are definitely going to be on the beach territory yet because there's still a bit of a way to go for them to 100% secure themselves in the division. After all, there are only 7 points above the relegation zone. So a bit of work to do still. But when it's a side like Sheffield Wednesday who have a lot more at stake, then it does make me a bit concerned, Justin.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's a little bit of nervousness there. There are a few teams that are thrown into that category of being on the beach or potentially on the beach. Sunderland, Watford, Cardiff, potentially. Yeah.
You're
teams.
Looking like 10th down to 14th, I would say.
Yeah, those who think they've got a chance of getting in the playoffs, but actually they don't have a chance of getting in the playoffs, they're going to be on the beach in a few games' time. So they're going to be avoidable. But I think Swansea under Luke Williams, they're going to want to finish the season on the highest. That's going to push me. Well, it's pushed me towards this one as well as that. Sheffield Wednesday, as you are rightly saying, they do need to win. They have to win. They've got something to play for, something big to play for. They're within reach of teams above them coming out of the bottom three. So, I am a little bit nervous, but Swansea are outside for a reason.
It'll be very interesting to see how Sheffield Wednesday do in this one because obviously they've just suffered back-to-back losses after a bit of a winning streak, certainly by their standards. And those two losses came against Leeds and Ipswich, who are obviously two of the best teams in the league. So not anything to be disgraced about, but how will they respond after that? It's going to be really, really fascinating to see. My outsider for Good Friday is Birmingham City to win away at Queen's Park Rangers. It's Gary Rowett's first game in charge back at Birmingham, and I fancy him to have a happy return. Because look, wherever Gary Rowett's been, he's done a good job. The only exception is at Stoke, but even then, that wasn't necessarily his fault. So I think bringing him in will massively boost their chances of staying up. And I see no reason why that can't start away at fellow relegation battlers QPR. They have been in good form since the turn of the year. That is absolutely undeniable. You've got to give them credit and Marty Sifuentes for that as well. However, a problem for them all season has been sustaining that form over a long period. And you can't say for sure whether this bit of a purple patch will continue, even though I say bit of a purple patch, they are without a win in the last three. Their most recent result was a 0-0 draw against Sunderland, who have been in abysmal form recently. And then a loss at home to Middlesbrough, whose season is looking like it's just about over already. So it'll be interesting to see where QPR go from here. A win against Birmingham would be absolutely massive. It could see them jump up as high as 16th. On the other hand, a loss could see them dragged back into the bottom three once again. So a huge game for QPR and a huge game for Birmingham City, for that matter. And I imagine QPR will probably be going into this thinking, I really wish Birmingham hadn't have acted and brought in Gary Rowett, but they have. And I'm going for a big win on Gazza Rowett's big return. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, you're going with the old cliche of a new manager bounce, aren't you? But I think you're absolutely balmy with this one. I know QPR are
balmy?
Off. Birmingham. Yeah, balmy. Birmingham are outsiders for this one and probably under that definition. Are a good shot, a good side to hedge your bets with. But this game has 0-0 written all over it. One shot on target written all over it. Firstly, QPR are very neat defensively. They're watertight. Combine that with my point of Gary Rowett coming in, making Birmingham, he's going to want to make Birmingham harder to beat. I don't expect much going forward from the Blues. So I'm thinking 0-0. 0-0, absolutely 0-0.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I think Gary Rowett will be very keen to tighten them up at the back because they've been a bit leaky recently. And QPR, a bit shot shy, shall we say. They're definitely better defensively than they are going forward, probably because they've got Lyndon Dykes up front.
0-0. You've just said it there. You've said it there. 0-0. Shot shy and watertight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a low scoring game, Justin. I'll agree with you on that. But I think it's a decent pick for an outsider, considering the new manager factor here. Hence why I've gone for that as my outsider for the weekend. Right. Guess what, Justin? It's now time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Low?
You're the fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Low. This is the game where we have to rank four things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that, guys. Come on. There's three questions, and this week I'm providing the questions for Justin Peach. Are you ready, Peachy?
Yes. I thought you were going to call me a bastard then. That's why I paused a little bit. I was expecting derogatory terms thrown at me, but I am
now,
ready.
Now, why on earth would I do that?
Because you're
not
an
arsehole. Something I would do, is it? Justin, this first question centres around the man we were just talking about, and that's Gazza Rowett. He's back in the Championship again, Justin. So can you rank for me these four clubs on who he oversaw the most games as manager? Those clubs are Birmingham City, Burton Albion, Derby County and Millwall. Who has he managed the most games for out of them?
Well, he's managed Derby the least. He was only there for a season.
Okay.
He was at Millwall for longer than he was at Birmingham. So I'll go Millwall top. Then I'll go Birmingham, then Burton.
And Derby bottom.
And Derby bottom.
Oh, you were so close, Justin.
Really?
You were so close. Yes. You've underestimated how long he was at Burton for. So Millwall were top. You're right there. Millwall, 196 games. He took charge of 142 games at Burton Albion. Then he was at Birmingham for 106 games. So quite a drop off. And then Derby County was just 60 games. So close, Justin. So, so close, but no cigar that time, dear boy.
Yeah, frustrating, frustrating. I completely forgot. Yeah, his Burton spell, he was there for like half a season. Or he took over like half a season, got to the playoffs, then got them automatically promoted and was there for another sort of 3 or 4 months. So yeah, probably a little bit longer than the other side.
Boy, why are you saying half so strangely?
Half.
Half?
Half. I don't know.
You literally live... You lived 5 minutes away from me when we lived in our paternal home. So I don't know why you suddenly started saying half so strangely.
I don't know why you're picking on me. Stop
I'm
picking
just
on
saying,
me.
I'm just saying you've never said half before. And now who do you think you are is what I'm trying to say.
Listen, the podcast profile is rising up. Maybe I need to change with it.
What accent will you go for?
Australian.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this transpiring over the next few years. Justin, this next question is about Leeds United, who are, of course, top of the Championship. But things weren't always this rosy in the second tier for old Leeds. So let's have a look back at the good old days. Can you rank these four former Leeds managers on who was in charge in chronological order from most recent to least recent? Those managers are Steve Evans, Dave Hockaday, Brian McDermott and Uwe Rosler.
That's such a dicky question. The Massimo Cellino era. Good Lord.
Yep.
Oh, there's an incredible story on Brian McDermott in Chile as well that I can't quite remember. Something about a sofa, and I wish I could retell this.
Well, you can't just drop that on us without being able to give us the full details, but come on, can I have your answers, please?
You can. Oh, no, I do remember it. Apparently, Chileno sacked Brian McDermott by accident because he said he wanted to change the couch, not the coach, and someone misinterpreted it.
That can't be true. I'm not having that for a second.
That's what I read. And it might have been on social media, and I can't verify the source, but it's incredible. Incredible little bit of information there. But just to relay the question, you want me to rank in order who was their first to last.
Hang on. We need to take a sidetrack here. So in an interview with the Daily Mail, only a few months ago, actually, yeah. Chileno said, "I was a mess when I got there. My English was very poor. My pronunciation was terrible. When I got there, there was a velvet bloody couch in the suite at Ellen Road. It was purple. And I said, change the bloody couch. I don't want to see it anymore." And then they fired the bloody coach. Right. I will point out, this is Massimo Chileno. Yeah. I don't know if that story is 100% accurate, but you know what? We'll just pretend it is for the sake of it being very funny. Justin, Steve Evans, Dave Hockaday, Brian McDermott, Uwe Rosler, can you rank them on who was at Leeds the most recent?
The most recent. So I think Hockaday was there first. He was the first manager under... Or was he? No. I'll go McDermott first, then Hockaday.
Which way are you doing this? Are you doing this from the most recent to least recent?
Least recent to most recent.
Okay, so you're saying least recent was McDermott.
McDermott, then Hockaday. Okay. I think Evans was his last. So I'm going to go Rosler, then Evans. So McDermott, Hockaday, Rosler, then Evans.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, he has absolutely nailed it. He was complaining about it at the start, but he has absolutely nailed it. So, yes, Steve Evans was the most recent. He was there from 2015 to 2016. Uwe Rosler was just before him. He only lasted 3 months. Dave Hockaday, he was there for less than 2 months in 2014. Brian McDermott, he preceded Hockaday and was there for 14 months after being appointed in 2013. Good stuff, Justin Peach. Good stuff, right? Great Scott High Ryan Lowing right there from you. And your final question, Justin. Of course, you are a big Star Wars virgin, aren't you?
Absolutely. I will own that 100%. I am massive, massive Star Wars virgin.
Good. Well, this question is all about Marvel. I'm joking. It's Star Wars. I want you to rank the top four Star Wars films based on their score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a film website which scores films based on the opinions of critics. So the top four, not in order, this is A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. I want you to rank them in order of their score on Rotten Tomatoes. There are two films in there which have the same Rotten Tomatoes score, so I'm going to decipher them based on their audience score as well. So can you rank me the four films I've just mentioned there based on their Rotten Tomatoes score, please?
So Empire Strikes Back, then A New Hope, then A Force Awakens, because Force Awakens is just A New Hope, and then The Last Jedi. But the critics loved The Last Jedi.
Ooh.
People didn't. No, I'll stick with that. I'll stick with my gut.
You sure?
Yeah.
He's absolutely bloody nailed it again, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is a Star Wars virgin, and he knows it. Empire Strikes Back is top. That has a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. A New Hope is next, a 93% rating, but has a better audience score than The Force Awakens, which also has a 93% rating. And then The Last Jedi had a 91% rating. Justin Peach. Incredible Scott High Ryan Lowing here. In fact, you nearly got 3 out of 3 if you didn't massively underestimate how long Gary Rowett was at Burton Albion.
Yeah, you know, old Rowett's done me there. He done me dirty. Done me dirty like old Chileno and his couch. Absolutely horrendous. Horrendous. Sad, couch or coach? Couch or coach, yeah. Maybe I'll take on the Chileno accent if I'm going to go forward with it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to you going on a couch journey from Sunderland to Plymouth very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Scott High, Ryan Lowe, and this has been the Second Tier Podcast, and we will be back again on Saturday. I'm just having to check that in my own head now. Yes, that's right. Everything's a day earlier this week, so we'll be reviewing the Good Friday games on Saturday. Not Sunday, Saturday. So we look forward to seeing you then. But hey, listen, don't just have a Good Friday. Have a great Friday. And we look forward to seeing you on Saturday. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.